Well, I think the most important thing in that respect is to make sure that by their behavior and appropriate words, they let everyone associated with them know that business is not just business. We all hear that said, well, business is business. And we know that when people say that, they're getting ready to do something they know is wrong. And that's where we have to help people understand that business is never just business. That will take the form, often, of doing what we know to be right and depending upon God to bail us out. Because one of the great virtues of obeying God is watching His salvation come. And that's why we should count it all joy when we fall into all kinds of tribulation, is because it's in tribulation that we come to know experientially the presence of the kingdom of God. So a witness to God's assisting grace goes with the attitude that you always do simply what is right. You do what is right. And if someone says this is going to be a disaster, I'm painting in broad strokes here, but basically what you do is you say, now we wait for God. And waiting for God, watching for Him to intervene, is what keeps us from wrongly intervening ourselves. And now then, to put it simply, the ball is in God's court. And that's the part that we can bear witness to just by seeing it through.
I'd like to add something to that.
I was going to ask, Andy, that sounds like a lot of your experience.
Well, I'm going to go back to my early career, and this whole idea of doing the right thing, in fact, that's Chuck Colson, and Scott, I think you're a part of that. It's come out with a new series on doing the right thing and morals and ethics and business and so forth. But when you do make that decision and that choice, that's the God-honoring one that may cause real problems, you have to take responsibility for it. And in my case, the thing that really kind of catapulted my career in public accounting was, you guys are probably all familiar with the Irvine Company. When I first came to Kenneth Leventhal, the accounting firm, we were doing a review of the Irvine Company for purposes of, it was up for auction. It's a long story. But anyway, in the process of doing that, we had 17 days to review the company, and we were now 13 days into that, and I was in charge of reviewing all of their operating properties, and I had a fellow that was on loan from another office. And this was late Sunday night. We'd worked through the weekend. And he said, I can't come tomorrow because I'm obligated to another client unless I tell them a lie, you know, that I can't be there. And I said, no, don't do that. And my boss, the managing partner, allowed me to do that. But in doing that, I ended up having to work. I worked that evening from 6 in the morning until midnight. I went home and got 6 hours sleep, and I was back in the office at 6 a.m. on Monday morning. And I worked from 6 a.m. on Monday morning until 4:30 Wednesday afternoon, with one trip home for a shower and a shave and an hour and a half sleep one of the nights on a sofa in the lobby. And we got the work completed, but I had to take responsibility. I had to do that guy's work as a result. And as a result of that, the managing partner, who was a Jewish fella, he always, and we're friends to this day, he's always respected that in me and having, you know, done that.
Yeah. It sounds like that was an evident part of your faith that came out in that decision to take responsibility.
That's wonderful. I don't think you can do things and expect God to honor it if you're not honoring Him and doing it. And that's what He spoke, you know, to Samuel, and He said, "I will honor those who honor Me." And that's what I think Dallas was saying. We have to trust Him with the results, and sometimes it doesn't turn out that well.
No, and it often is self-sacrificial.
Yes.
If you're not ready to go into that, then you can't carry through.
Bill, I know you said this morning that whether or not somebody's a believer or not often engenders a so what response from you. So maybe I'm a little tentative to add to put this question to you, but again, like I asked to Dallas, are there, you know, as you think back on your tenure at ServiceMaster, you know, were there things that you know, that you would say were distinctively Christian about your leadership?
Well, yeah, I can think about one dimension, and it builds on what has been said here about doing what is right, and it sometimes is a sacrifice. In a sense of whether you're going to be successful financially. Sometimes it's a trade-off, but often it isn't. And doing what is right is often part of the success, the financial success. And I think the question that maybe, that at least I tried to bring to the question of financial success, that I think is uniquely Christian, is what do you do with it when you get the success? So I don't know of any other faith persuasion that has the principle that starts out in Psalm 24, that God owns everything. So that whatever I'm creating, he owns it. I don't own it. So immediately, that puts me in the role of a steward, not an owner. And now I'm, as I go down that road with respect to wealth, that means my responsibility is not to spend it, not to give it, but to invest it. And then I move to the parable of the talents. And you remember the injunction to the third servant who buried it. You didn't even put it in the bank for interest. That interest, folks, is what in business we call profit. And what all that means to me, uniquely as a Christian, is that God doesn't want me to give back what he's given me. He wants more. And I think that's a uniquely Christian concept. So and then that as a steward, then as you quote, share that wealth with other Christian organizations, the church or Talbot or something, you're really investing it for returns. And always remembering that the returns aren't necessarily immediate, that God measures returns with eternity in view. So all those that gets a more subjective, but you're really investing it. You have a responsibility to invest it.